Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk sports today, so how about those Blue Devils? And what a poor Kentucky shocking defeat. We could literally hear the sound of millions of March Madness brackets busting when they lost to Wisconsin. We also have a new 21-year-old golf star on our hands with Jordan Spieth's win at the Masters. The baseball season is underway. This, by the way, is, by all accounts, the year of the Mets. We'll discuss that. Just this morning, a murder conviction was handed down for former New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez. Hey, let's talk sports today. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Guesting on the show today, Keith Strudler. Having Keith on Vox Pop is like finding a math tutor in Billy Donovan's locker room. It's a very pleasant surprise. It's not every day.
That was an insult.
It's not. Hey, it's not every day we have the director of the Marist College Center for Sports Communication and our very own sports commentator, Keith Strudler, is here. Keith, nice to have you back.
It's great to be here, and it's always so nice to get such a warm welcome.
Well, my joke writers were hard at work, and I'll say Ian Pickus came up with the Billy Donovan shot. Brilliant, yes. Brilliant. All right, you can join the conversation by calling 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment on our website, wamc.org/voxpop. And you can go to our wall post on Facebook. It's WAMC Radio on Facebook. There'll be a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag VoxPop or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Keith Strudler, we start the show with some terrible sports news. The only horse ever to be penalized in a college football game has died.
The only horse?
Yes. Rutgers University says Lord Nelson was 42, or the human equivalent of 126 years. Now, one of Lord Nelson's duties during his 37-year Rutgers career was carrying the school's Scarlet Knight mascot during football games. And in 1984, it was the Army game. Lord Nelson was penalized for unsportsmanlike conduct. He broke free and raced down the sideline at Giant Stadium.
And that's a penalty.
That's a flag, my friend. 15
How many
yards?
15 yards?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth it. Gets the team all excited.
Well, the AP remembered it, and that's all that counts.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've always had a warm place in my heart for schools that have real animal mascots. In fact, we've discussed at length what the most impressive and intimidating mascot. And I think a lot of people go with the obvious, the Tiger Cubs and
sure.
the things, you
They're
know.
Small and cuddly, though.
Well, but even so, say you bring a real tiger. You get LSU, you bring that tiger.
Yeah.
Everyone assumes that's the most intimidating, frightening mascot you could bring out. And obviously, you can't bring an actual gator out in the field.
So no. Things,
you know which one I always go for?
What's that?
The War Eagle. Because that guy comes from the fight at 80 miles an hour.
Sure.
And there's no, when they want, you know, they're not going to sick. They're not going to sick the Bengal tiger out on you,
yeah.
And you can run from it. That War Eagle comes to the stadium, and you don't know where it's going to go. I've always thought the War Eagles.
I think you got a great point there. No, Florida State was at the gorilla, right?
The Florida State?
Yeah.
I'm a Florida. I'm a Florida State. I don't know what Florida. No, they have the actual.
No, I'm kidding. Of course. I thought I would try to make up for the Billy Donovan shot.
No, it's getting worse.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can.
Although,
here.
Although, interesting note, the former quarterback for. I'm having a name problem right now for Florida State University. Apparently, did very well in his Wonderlic. For all the critique, he's
James
Winston.
James, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, is he going to be the number one pick?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think
mean,
he will.
It seems like all the quote-unquote experts are flip-flopping between Mariota and Winston back and forth. Every week it changes. And it would seem to me the guy who has a real NFL arm is Winston.
Yeah. And I think the Tampa Bay Bucs, Lovie Smith, seemed pretty clear early on that he wanted to judge his football talent, not his everything else.
Okay, well, let's get into that for a minute. And then I also want to talk hockey with you because the Stanley Cup tourney starts tonight, and I know you're a huge hockey fan.
Huge hockey fan.
But let's get into that. At what point does the personality profile and the past history of some problems play into the front office of an NFL team going, well, you know, this might not be a good fit?
I think a lot of that depends on which front office you're talking about. I think some are going to be more lenient. And
so the Raiders don't care.
Raiders make a living. They encourage that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
But the Raiders, which will eventually be the Los Angeles Raiders, which will be interesting to see if that changes, you know, changes how they operate.
I think
it does weigh into it. I think it weighs into it at some positions more than others. I think at quarterback, I think it's a strong consideration for two reasons. One is I think they consider the quarterback to certainly be the most cerebral, the position where you must use your full faculties more than you might at other positions. At the running back, they don't care. Running back, they want you there for 3-4 years. They figure you're going to be – they don't even expect a second contract out of you at running back.
Yeah.
They want you to just run the ball. I think at quarterback they expect – the other problem with quarterback is, for better or for worse, the quarterback is the face of the franchise. And so they're investing not only in your talents but also your ability to sell tickets and market. And I think what's happened up in Cleveland this past year has certainly, you know, allowed people to take some pause.
So the Cleveland situation, that kid went into rehab – for alcohol, I guess, presumably, and he's under contract for some time. So you have once you make that first-round pick, you have to stick with it for how many years?
Yeah, now, and although the contracts are not guaranteed, but you are laying a lot of money, and that's the joy of the NFL is – the joy, but the reality of the NFL is your contract isn't a guaranteed contract. You are paying a lot of money up front for these high-round draft picks, so you are writing a big check, and you are making that investment. The other thing you've done is you've wasted a top pick.
And what's – how can you put a monetary value on that? If you get the number one pick and you blow it, that sets your program back – by years. I've seen the Giants, and that's my team, make in the last couple of years they've done okay, but there were three or four terrible drafts, and they paid the price last year. They'll probably pay the price this year. If you don't get it right, your whole program suffers for 3, 4, 5 years.
That's why sometimes the smart teams trade down from that pick. They see if they can get value. It's the fans don't like it because the fans like the thrill of the unknown.
Yeah.
But the smart GMs say, you know what I like? A guy that can actually play football.
I wonder what the and by the way, we're talking with Keith Strudler, sports today. It's an open sports conversation. So if you're not interested in the NFL draft, we will be all over the place.
And of course, Gator gymnastics, anything Florida related.
And exactly. Anything you want to discuss, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. I wonder what ESPN and the NFL Network think about the top two quarterbacks in this draft saying, you know, I'm not going. I'm staying home. Winston and Mariota both say they're not going to the draft.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, I think it's great.
Why?
Why buy into the hype? You'll be drafted either way.
Yeah, but isn't that your moment? You probably skipped your prom, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Then why should they skip their coming out party?
Well, why should they go when it's really just to feed the sports machine when they're not even under contract yet?
Yeah, I don't think this is the right time for them to become righteous.
All right.
So it
won't affect how much money they make.
It won't, but the vast majority, if they do this right, the vast majority of the money they're going to make isn't going to be made on a football field. It's going to be made off the field.
Yeah.
And if I were an agent, I would say this is the right time to start creating that
image.
That image.
So you get the hug from Roger Goodell. Do you need the hug from Roger Goodell?
I think Jameis Winston could use a hug.
Well,
I should watch. I should tread lightly on this one. But Jameis Winston,
you think he'll be the number one pick?
I think he's going to be the number one pick. I think in the end, you know, if you're going to choose a quarterback, and quarterback's a risky pick.
Yep.
You know, it's a lot easier to pick. I mean, pick the offensive lineman. You've seen a lot of teams do that before. Say, I'm not going the quarterback, even though they're the sexy pick. I'm picking the much more surefire pick.
Well, look what the Cowboys did by stocking up an offensive line, and now suddenly they're the team to be reckoned with.
It's a real football team all of a sudden.
Exactly, and you need that. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Got the NHL Stanley Cup bracket, and I thought you could give me the picks.
Couldn't even tell you who's in it.
Okay, so tonight, Montreal is playing Ottawa.
Boy, now...
You have to. I'm going to write it down, yes, so go ahead.
But Montreal playing... Now, those teams both playing in Canada, interestingly enough.
Now that is insight. By the way, Marist College, people.
We don't do a lot of Canadian work. I'll tell you what, Montreal... I'll take Montreal.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. They're the first round.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, and then tomorrow night, also in that bracket... let's see. Who's
do I have any money on this? Have we talked to my accountant?
You know what? We'll discuss this with Ian in a bit, and we'll get back to this. Let's go to the phones. And Bob in Albany. Bob, you're on.
Hi. They're going to be playing that ice hockey in Canada with the Canadians winning the Stanley Cup
yeah.
this year. But after they finish the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup up there. They're going to hold the World Cup, and then the USA team will beat the host Canadians. And when they get to the finals, they're going to beat those evil Canadians, beat those evil Germans.
Oh, boy.
And whoever happens to stand in the United States women's national team.
So I guess you don't work for the UN, then.
No, I mean, last time we were cheated 4 years ago with those evil Japanese.
All right, now.
Stealing the cup from us.
Well,
we deserved it.
Where are we playing this? This is in Canada.
Canada.
Okay. You know, what's interesting, women's hockey hasn't, you know, women's soccer found a niche and it got popular. And women's hockey, even with the success of the Olympics and some of it hasn't gone very far. I mean, the college level as well. And most Division I programs that have, you know, that have men's hockey teams have women's hockey teams as well. There's very little traction. I mean, now to get off this topic, not to completely ignore the Women's World Cup, because I don't know our success.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to be quite honest.
We're going to go with Bob and say that not Albany, but U.S. will win this. And, Bob, we're going to be cheering with you on that.
I'm a bandwagon guy.
Yeah, it's quite clear.
If the U.S. is good at something, I want to know about it.
All right, fair enough. Let's take a break here, Zach. We're having far too much fun, and we'll get this NHL bracket done while we're here in the break. 1-800-348-2551. Keith Strudler's here. We talk sports.
Support for WAMC comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont. Hosting Jonathan Mingle, presenting Fire and Ice, Soot, Solidarity, and Survival on the Roof of the World. Saturday, April 18th at 6 p.m., northshire.com. Washington County Tourism, announcing Tour of the Battenkill, cycling race 65-mile course, featuring expo, art show, vendors, Main Street activities, and more this Saturday and Sunday, washingtonnycounty.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. And Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York, featuring pruning and fruit tree maintenance tools, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Sundays, 9 to 4, a gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551, the telephone number. We're joined today by Keith Strudler, director of the Marist College Center for Sports Communication, our very own sports commentator here on these airwaves. Well, it's well known in these parts that you hate baseball.
You use hate a lot.
You don't like baseball. You don't like baseball.
I'm not, with all apologies to my friends who, you know, play baseball at Marist College and coach it, it's not my favorite sport.
Yeah,
I like to go to a game, have some peanuts, and whatever else I'm having there, and then let my kids run around and then go home.
Well, that's a shame, because it is the year of the Mets, and your number one fan here at the station, Alan Shartok, obviously is a Mets fan as well, and he's picked the Mets, and he's listening. So, you know.
Good luck to them. Yeah, I actually don't want the Mets to do well, because what I like to do is go to a few games a year. Mets do well, price of my tickets go up.
Yeah, price of tickets, that's tough. Now, one of the biggest bits of sports news I saw in the last week is this kid, Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
21 years old, won the Masters, won every day.
Yeah.
He was the leader every day.
Wire to wire.
And so that hasn't been done since Raymond Floyd did it in the 70s. That's a monumental accomplishment.
And I think everyone was waiting on that final day for a Greg Norman moment where he shoots a 15 on 17th hole or something like that, loses his ball on a blimp.
Right.
But shoots it into a lake, you know, a couple miles away. No, he not only did he do it, he did it with a clear amount of grace and control, and even with, you know, Justin Rose pushing him from behind and Mick coming up from the back, you know, he absolutely handled himself in a way that has positioned him to become one of the next stars in this game, particularly. And I also did it after he, you know, almost did it last year. And I think a lot of people were looking to see if that was just a moment in time or if he really is this person that has that kind of composure. And it's really impressive.
And you mentioned the composure and the poise. for 21, if he is in fact really 21.
What, do you think this is going to be like a one of the Chinese gymnast stories?
He'd be 37 years old. No, but
test his teeth.
He is truly. It was truly an amazing accomplishment. And you said in the break that this is the sort of thing which brings golf to another level.
Well, so I think golf has struggled in. And it's impossible to call it the post-Tiger era because he was out there. He was
right.
Actually playing.
Until his bone popped out, and he popped it back
that
in.
That was ugly.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pop anything back in, by the way. No. Bone pops out of my body.
I'm done for the day.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I call it a game.
Right.
Just sign my card and get me to the 19th hole.
But he is done.
Which is a hospital.
The mojo is gone.
I think the mojo is gone. The intimidation is gone. You know, even Nike has almost admitted as such by that very, very well done commercial where he and Rory were together and they really positioned him as the old guard. And they basically made the transition. They got everything they could out of Tiger as a spokesperson because it's hard to sell right now the guy who's mid-pack, who has all sorts of baggage in his past and, you know, was laying in his driveway on Ambien at some point. That's a tough sales pitch, you know, and I think they got everything they could out of him that commercial and almost officially made the handoff to their next wave.
But do you think that there has to be a Jordan Spieth or a Tiger Woods or anybody, one singular person, to transcend the sport? I mean, golf has been great for years and years and years.
But it wasn't, you know, obviously Tiger reached an entirely new populace because of who he was and because of, you know, the way that he dominated the sport. I think a couple of things are important. I think you need to have some stars and some people. Golf is a game of individuals, and so it doesn't have to be Tiger, but it had to be Jack. It had to be Arnie. It has to be someone. You know. So I think there does have to be someone with some charisma, some personality, someone who can dominate. Beyond that, it's great if there are. The only downside of the Tiger era was there was no one out there. So you need the Sampras to the Agassi. And so I think what you're seeing now is the emergence of several very compelling stories. And at a very young age. And I do think that the excitement raised by this, I don't know that they're not Tiger, because Tiger was different. And he was different simply because he was, you know, he was African-American or very biracial in a world that was very exclusively white. And I think that was interesting.
Oh, that's a good point.
And you know, Jordan Spieth, a lot of things, not African-American.
No. unless, you looked at a picture of him today, he does not look like 21. He's weathered by the sun.
I think the experience is, you know, I used to say this when I would watch like Notre Dame football, not something I watch very often, by the way, but you'd see these guys and Army football and these quarterbacks, these players would give these interviews at the end of the game and they seem like men, grown men.
Yep.
And I think of myself at 21 and I don't think I was able to give two sentences together without looking foolish. And these guys were grown men. And I think the experiences age you, and I think you are older than your years.
Age you or mature you?
Mature you.
And this is a thing about college basketball in particular. You have Kentucky with these kids who are freshmen, sophomores, and now five may be in the first round.
Crazy.
And can you handle it? I mean, college does many things. Whether you're a good student or a bad student, one of those things is it takes you to another maturity level.
That's right. I was a very bad student who still grew up.
Yeah.
Largely. But I had to go to graduate school for 7 more years to finish the baking process.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So that.
But
that was,
I mean, I find it so interesting in Kentucky in particular, but many other college and college basketball much more so, where these kids play one, they play 2 years, and they're not how can they be ready for the millions of dollars they're about to receive?
I think it's very hard. And the money's one side. I think even worse is the adoration and all the things, you know, all the attention and all the risk and all the temptation. Imagine being that age and all of a sudden spending 70 days a year in a hotel.
Yeah.
Right? When your bus shows up in an arena, there's all these people. Now, I guess if you're in Kentucky, you're used to it, but you've got flocks of women. I mean, which is what has happened in arenas across, standing outside. I mean, it's a very...
It happens in radio a lot, too.
I noticed when you walked in the studio,
they had to
shut it down.
It's a Sinatra thing with me. All right, let's go back to the phones. Dennis and Saugerties. Dennis, you're on.
Hey, I heard you talking about the Masters, and I just went for the 4 days.
Oh, wow!
How did you get that ticket?
Well, believe it or not, they've been in the family for over 50 years.
Yeah, this is my cousin, Dennis.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. No, I'd like
my
it to be.
My sister is the ticket holder.
Wow.
So it's like a season ticket to, say, the Giants, which was a hot ticket back when my dad was around. It just gets passed down generation to generation?
Well, it's a long, long story. My father had the same name as my mother. And they named, this is a George Foreman story, and they named them all, we all had the same first name.
That's convenient.
My father died many years ago. He had 6 tickets at the time. So when the application came the next year, my mother signed for 4 tickets. My sister signed for the other 2.
Wow.
My mom passed away in 2010, and they obviously were using the Social Security Death Index by then. And we never got an application for her for the following year.
Oh.
But my sister continues to get those 2 tickets.
So just to be clear, your sister's also named Dennis?
No.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, that would be a little odd.
It's a new age. It's a new world.
Yeah, you're right, man.
It's a new
world. So how was the Masters?
Well, yeah, I'm interested. Now, what was the buzz around Jordan Spieth versus, say, Tiger or Mick? Where was the energy on the course?
The energy was actually spread all over the course the whole weekend. It was a very exciting one. I've been going since the Roberto DiVincenzo missigned scorecard one. This was happened to be, in my opinion, one of the most interesting, particularly the day on Saturday, when the scores were going up and down and people were moving and jostling. Sunday didn't have much movement. And the crowds were just tremendous. Many locals and season ticket holders don't even bother going on Sunday. They go home and watch it on TV. The crowds are just too strong.
Mm.
But the energy was all over the place all weekend. I made a point of going and seeing Mr. Spieth for a couple of reasons. Nobody's ever been on television from my family, and I tried to at least get in the camera someplace.
Did you get in?
We're still reviewing the second half of Sunday.
I wouldn't, you know, I get worried when they shoot it into the crowd and then they kind of clear like a, you know, like a small sliver for people to move so this guy can hit their shot.
Yeah.
I would knock out, I would take out half the audience. I mean, if you gave me that amount of space, I'd be in jail for some kind of, you know, I mean, clubs, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing the accuracy they hit it with. So Jordan Spieth wasn't by far the biggest star that day, and
he was the talk of the town, there's no question. But while Phil was following along, and this is one of the things about the Masters, if you plop yourself down in one place on the course and you've been there a number of times, you can tell, because you don't really know what's going on other than those big scorecards, the big scoreboards where they change the numbers constantly. And people, by the way, they bet on the scoreboard. It's just like Las Vegas.
Yeah, then maybe I should go. That's the way I mean, if you can't bet on it, it's not sports.
Well,
that's a terrible thing to say.
They catch the betting, it's an automatic expulsion, and you'll never get your ticket back.
Oh, really? So they play it very seriously there. That's great.
Oh, they are extremely serious. Running on the course will lose your ticket forever.
Now, how about walking, running with scissors? Is that a double expulsion?
No. But in all seriousness, it was one of the more exciting of the Masters that I've been to. And yes, Mr. Spieth had quite a large following, particularly later in the day on Sunday, once the people recognized there was not going to be much more movement around.
Wow. Well, good
now,
for you.
Now, it was a lot of fun. On my own perspective, I've been reading about the decline of golf recently. I believe there was a nice article in the New York Times last week. Pointing out things like in one of the most recent years, there were more golf courses closed than there were opened.
Hmm.
And so I was curious to see how much of a crowd would draw or some, you know, that sort of thing. And I was fascinated to find out the crowds were bigger than ever and probably as enthusiastic as I've ever seen.
Interesting. Well, you know, that's still, I mean, the Masters is still the toughest ticket in all of sports.
Yes. We've never sold a ticket because of those rules that I explained just before. Mm. We've never sold or given away a ticket because we have lost a couple over the years to people that were doing inappropriate behavior based on them. Now, of course, you may or may not know, be aware, guys, the Masters sits by themselves. You don't see any signs there of the PGA. You don't see any signs of any other affiliations. They make their own rules, and they do it their own way.
Oh, that's really, a really interesting call. Dennis, thanks a lot. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Keith Strudler. We're all over the sports map today, talking a little bit about the Masters. And it seems to me, and I think I've said this before with you, that golf, intuitively, I would think that in this age of high-definition, widescreen TVs, there are very few better things to watch than golf. In the old days, those TVs, I couldn't even find the ball. Now everything is crystal clear, and it's an enjoyable viewing experience.
It is. It's a slow game. I think it's hard to get. And the Masters gets great numbers, and it comes at a perfect time. It's right after the NCAA tournament. They do it very well. They have a very unique arrangement for how they produce this event. But it is slow. I mean, I got to tell you, and I think golf on TV is driven by people like Tiger, and people get excited. Like I said, I'll watch the last day of the Masters because of this Jordan Spieth kid. And otherwise, I wouldn't watch anything. I would literally watch anything on Chopped. I'd watch Shark Tank, which is, by the way, my favorite show.
Do you watch bowling?
Bowling?
Yeah. Do you watch bowling?
No, but interestingly, I've been bowling a lot personally recently.
It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is. Well, I do it because my kids enjoy it. It's something we can do over the winter.
Yeah.
So my problem is I have. Not to get too detailed, but I've big fingers and I'm not strong. So
okay.
I need the balls that you get there, you know, if you want to get into the ones that my fingers fit into, they become 14 pounds.
Why don't you buy a ball?
I've thought about it, but I also think about what it means with the statement I'm making when I walk into a bowling alley with a ball.
That means that you have to bowl at least a 180 to 190 right. or you're laughing.
And
off.
I think given my current, you know, score range, it might be, I don't want to say embarrassing,
okay.
but it might be embarrassing if I walk in
Why,
with my
what's
own
your
ball.
Average?
Well, I usually shoot, and the average is a tough word because I tend to have a wide delta on what I do.
So four games, one may be really low. And
yeah,
then
but I figure you average them out. Well, four is too much. My arm won't give out.
Really?
Three is about all I can
do. You got to bowl at least six games. Come on.
What am I?
Come on,
what
man.
What kind of time do I have? what am I?
And how much money do you have?
Yeah, exactly. I work for a living.
Yeah.
So I usually bowl in the 130s.
Okay.
Is that about right?
Well, it's not that good.
No, but that means I a couple strikes, a couple spares, a few
yeah.
open frames.
I've
you know what I do actually now? I cheat, though. Because I have kids, we all bowl on the same lane.
Oh, and you put the bumpers up.
Oh, they have to, because the kids are doing
that's
it.
That's pathetic.
I don't use them very often, though.
So when I was a kid, there were no bumpers.
Well,
my father took us bowling.
There are also no cars.
Okay. Number to call is 1-800, enough about bowling. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. All right, before we take our break here, we'll get your next bit of the bracket. Now,
sure.
Montreal and Ottawa tonight.
For entertainment purposes only.
You yep. have Montreal advancing.
Sure.
Tampa Bay Lightning against Detroit. Now, Tampa Bay is the 2 seed in the
yeah.
bracket.
I like the Lightning.
You like the Lightning?
I like the
okay,
Lightning.
Okay, so Tampa Bay advances to play Montreal.
Yes.
And
that big rivalry game between Montreal and the Suncoast.
Now, you see, you should not be allowed to have a professional hockey team. They're talking about having a hockey team in Las Vegas unless you can have real snow. So
no,
Tampa Bay
fair.
Would be out. Las Vegas.
Unless you can play on the water outside.
Yeah. Know. Okay, now the exciting one, and this is tomorrow night, the Rangers, they won the President's Cup. They have the best record in the NHL playing Pittsburgh. First seed against the 4th seed. Who do you have in that one?
You got to take the Rangers.
You got to
take. Those are two passionate hockey towns. That's going to be an exciting series.
You got the Islanders who made it in.
It's unfortunate.
they're not playing in the Barclays Center. If they played that in the Barclays Center. Are they playing in the Barclays? No, they're still playing out.
I think
this is their final.
This is the swan song
yeah.
for the Nassau Coliseum.
Well, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun for them to make a little run out in the Coliseum?
They have Washington, and they start tonight. And so the Islanders against Washington, who advances in that?
You got to take the Islanders.
Okay, then
I know nothing about what I'm talking about, but that feels fun. It's almost like a semi-pro,
and then,
like Will Ferrell's movie.
yeah, and then you have the Islanders and Rangers. Moving up, and the winner of that goes to the conference finals.
And when they're playing in Long Island, and the Rangers and the Islanders are playing, that building is 80% Rangers fans.
Well, back in my day, we have an email here. My grandmother lived in Hempstead, and so we went to the Nassau Coliseum all the time.
Yeah,
and so I saw Rick Barry play for the Nets back in the ABA days. I saw Julius Erving play for the Nets back in the day. But the Islanders, that was a big ticket back in the early 70s.
They were a great team, too.
Yeah, man.
They were a dominant franchise.
All right, here's an email came in from Bill. Okay, I've been listening for almost half an hour, and nobody has said a word about the actual sports, the playing of the games. It's all about everything else around it. That's why I don't listen to sports radio, though I'd listen to Ray talk about anything. Well, there you go, Bill. Question. I've heard Dave Zirin say that New York State's subsidy of the Yankees is greater than their profit. What do you know about this? Well, that's not really about playing the game, Bill.
Yeah, now a double cross.
But however, this is right in Strudler's wheelhouse. What do you think?
So the Yankees got a remarkable, and I don't know enough about the numbers, and Dave Zirin certainly will, because he's as good as they get. But this, they got a very, very advantageous deal from, you know, from the public subsidies.
Did the Mets get the same deal?
No, because the Mets didn't get a Metro North station.
Oh, is that what it was all about?
Yankees got amongst other things. I mean, they've got a lot of other things, but I thought the best, they got a Metro North stop. I mean, if you're in the Westchester, if you're in the Hudson Valley,
Brewster, for instance, you just zip on down.
You zip on down. It's great as a fan, but it is that's a remarkable sweetheart. Yeah, the Yankees got a fantastic deal, and the Yankees could afford to do it on their own. These are not the deals that are being offered to play in California, for example, where they do hardly anything, which is why you don't see the same kind of facilities.
And so
but the Mets didn't get it because the Mets aren't as valuable a commodity.
Not yet. Not until after this season.
That's going to do it.
Well, 10 or 12 seasons.
1986 left. All over.
So
guys throwing Molotov cocktails in parking lots.
You know what we saw at Citi Field last night? And Matt Harvey pitched last night.
Yes.
Okay. Didn't pitch as well as he did the first day, but still, at times, dominant. Mets ended up winning the game. Citi Field rocking. Now, have you been to Citi Field?
I have. I love Citi Field. Okay. I love Citi Field.
I don't like Citi Field.
Why?
I like Shea.
Well, you like to sit with where the overhang actually blocks half of the field?
That is not true.
All
right. I like Citi Field, but I love Shea. And until the Mets win something, Citi Field is not going to be home to me. But last night reminded me of 1984 because they were doing the wave. It's been a long time since anybody had anything joyous to do at Citi Field.
Three Rivers Stadium, too? I mean, what do you like? I mean, do you like the circular, the Astrodome?
All right. You know what? Strudler and I are going to punch it out. Let's take a break. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting the Rock the Ridge 50-Mile Challenge for runners, walkers, hikers on May 2nd. Sponsored by I Love New York and Ulster County Alive. MohonkPreserve.org for registration. Snow Farm Summer, Williamsburg, Massachusetts. The New England Craft Program for students ages 13 through 18. Glass blowing, drawing, ceramics, and more. 2 or 4 weeks intensive instruction in July. SnowFarm.org for information. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com.
Nothing says sports like some Zappa bumper music.
Is that Zappa?
Yeah.
I had a friend in college who was a huge Zappa fan.
Live Zappa, last big world tour he did in 88.
Friend of mine, he said, I love Zappa. And one of his reasons for why he loves Zappa was because Zappa could do any genre. And so he's like, listen to Zappa's metal. It's so good. And I was like, well, if I wanted to listen to metal, I'd listen to Metal Church. I'd listen to metal. Like, why do I like Frank Zappa? Because he can copy someone else.
Your friend was right, and you, unfortunately, my friend, are pathetically wrong. Keith Strudler is our guest, 1-800-348-2551. Here's one that came in via email from Mark. It says, good afternoon. I would like to ask you about the current state of college and pro basketball. Comments were made recently by Mark Cuban and others about the game needing to be improved. I disagree with them because I feel like with all of the rule changes, they've now taken defense out of the game. Every NBA game seems like an all-star game from the 1980s. There seems to be no more defense in the NBA. What do you think? And that's from Mark.
Well, I think during the regular, I think you have to look at the postseason and the regular season differently. I think the level of play in the postseason NBA is spectacular, and I think they play defense. I think they play it very hard. The reality is always going to be the college game is different than the NBA game, and the number of steps that you're allowed to take.
It's
crazy.
It does seem crazy.
It is, and it is. It becomes a star game in particularly in the playoffs, and players are allowed to take over. They actually showed, they were showing the uh, you know, the Ridgy Time, you know, the 30 for 30 last night again on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they showed Patrick Ewing's 12 steps towards the hoops. I was like, what's happening?
And so my son, he plays basketball, rec basketball over the winter. And, you know, a kid tries that, you get called for a walk. It's pretty funny. The rules get easier as you go on.
I think, you know, everyone's talked this year about the level of play in college basketball because you're not letting players mature and because they're not gelling. That Kentucky team, although remarkably talented, was not a very good singular unit. You had a lot of stars, and they were all fighting for time, and they played very hard. And I thought they were coached well, although minus the game they lost, I thought they maybe weren't coached as well as they could have been. But I thought they did a great job. You know, they're better athletes. They may not be playing as well, but they are better athletes right now than we've seen in a long time.
I tell you what, your last point is the reason I prefer almost watching women's college basketball at the elite level, because it's a team game.
No, people aren't watching, though. The ratings have been – it's really actually –
Did you watch the final – the last – you know, the final four?
I watched
or
little parts.
Oh,
but it was tough because you knew that Connecticut was going to win.
Yeah, but Notre Dame – They got within five, I think. It didn't feel that close.
It's like watching me around like a box of Twinkies. You know I'm going to eat them.
Did you see UAlbany women play? What did they play, Duke?
Are you asking me if I spent a lot of time watching UAlbany basketball?
Listen, I think they played Duke on a play-in
for the tournament.
No.
Did Ian Pickett say
and they lost on a three-pointer at the very end. It was a great game.
I will say, since Marist didn't make the tournament for the first time in a gazillion years, I was a little bitter this year.
So oh, really? As opposed to when? Let's go to Spike and Rhinebeck. Spike, you're on.
Hi there. Just wanted to check with you guys about maybe the city of Kingston or possibly Poughkeepsie stepping up and getting a minor league hockey franchise into the area. I think it's a market that would do well, and it seems underserved right now. You know, maybe Marist could build an arena, a bigger arena or something.
All right, look, to your mouth to the president's ears. I think it would be a great area for both minor league and or college hockey. And we don't have a team. Quinnipiac is a nice team down the road, and you go in this area. There's great teams. I fully agree that a hockey team could compel that region, and that region is underserved with sports.
I wonder what the bottom line is, and whether the profit margin is big enough to bring a hockey team, minor league hockey team, into a town that hasn't had it previously. Like Glens Falls, they had the Red Wings for years and years, and they've done well. Albany's had the Devils, but teams come and go, and I get the feeling that the margin of profitability is a slim one.
It's very slim. In minor league sports, it's slim everywhere. Minor league baseball in particular. I will say the Hudson Valley region, though, because he was speaking specifically to that, is an underserved region, and they support their franchises very well. Marist basketball does very well attendance-wise, both in the men's and women's side, regardless of how the teams are doing. The Hudson Valley Renegades does great. They do great business. So I do think we just don't have the facility. That's the problem. We don't have the building.
So Marist will build one. Hey, Spike, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Greg in Ballston Lake. Greg.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hey.
Wondering who's going to enter the NBA Finals playoffs. Will it be the Pelicans tonight, Jimmer Fredette, or will it be Oklahoma, and will Fredette ever see any more playing time in the NBA?
Well, those are two different but good questions.
So by the way, Jimmer Fredette, while he killed my Gators one year in the NCAA tournament.
That's a shame.
Well, this is really getting surly. It's unfortunate.
You take shots at UAlbany, man.
You open it up, the floodgates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how those UAlbany fans are.
You're going to get what you give.
So Jimmer is one of my favorite college basketball players of all time because he plays like I do, except for he makes the shots. He walks into the gym looking to shoot no matter where he is and doesn't play any defense. Like, that's my kind of basketball. But and I actually think he's one of the 10 greatest college basketball players of all time. Well, I don't know that he's going to get significant time at the NBA level. I just don't know it's not a shooter's game. It's a driver's game.
Yeah.
And I don't know that works unless he's in the absolute perfect situation. You know, Ray Allen became a jump shooter later in his career, but it took him a long time to earn that role. As far as what's going to happen, will Oklahoma City get in? You know, it's not entirely up to them, but you have to hope so. Wouldn't it be great to see those stars playing Golden State in the first round? And that is part of the issue right now with the NBA playoffs, is we have such imbalance. We have so many great teams on the Western Conference. And the Eastern Conference, you know what you have to do to get into the NBA playoffs? You just have to sign up.
No, yeah, it's how do you not get in the playoffs? Yes. Oh, yeah, you play it in Madison Square Garden. Yes, That's how you don't get in.
Well, yeah. How do you keep someone from scoring? Put it on the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, so who wins it all?
Oh, God. You know, I don't bet against the Spurs until someone beats them. I don't bet against the Spurs. And I know Golden State's awesome right now, and they are playing basketball the way everyone loves Steph Curry. I had no idea that Steph Curry could be this kind of NBA basketball player. I watched him in college. I don't know how you could have predicted that this kid from Davidson, who looked like he was about 110 pounds, right, and looked like a distance runner, somehow was going to become an NBA superstar.
Yeah.
But I do think that the Spurs are still the team.
They're well coached.
They're well coached, and they know how to play playoff basketball.
Greg, what do you think? Who takes it all?
Well, I'm rooting for the Pelicans.
That's a tough pick. That's a long off. First, I have to get in.
That's a 200-to-1 pick right now, probably.
Yeah. Oh, I'd tell you if you're lucky. Yeah.
Hey, Greg, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Russ in Waterford. Russ, you're on.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you this afternoon?
Good.
Great.
I had a comment and a question. I saw Jordan Spieth this weekend, and one thing I will say is he did not back into that green jacket. He attacked every hole. I was amazed. There was lots of room for him to let up or take it easy or maybe not be as aggressive as he was, but it was impressive. He just went after it every time he hit the ball.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I thought it was – I think part of that was because he was getting so much pressure from behind. I mean, I think there was a moment, you know, when they were, I don't know, it was a sixth, seventh hole in the final day where Justin Rose was hitting some shots. And, you know, I think it may have gone down to three at one point. It was at four at the very least. I can't remember what. But you really said this is it. Like, this is the moment where – and the greens were just, you know, awful. And I think – that is what's good for golf. Like, that's what's good for golf, to have those moments where you're right, they are having to gun it, and they're going to have to lay it all on the line. And I thought it was a great tournament for golf.
Even Phil chipped in from the sand. That put some pressure on him. He could hear the roar when he's up on the green. Now, I was wondering if you guys had seen, I've been talking hockey quite a bit. I'm not a big hockey fan, but I was watching SportsCenter or something this weekend, and I don't know if it was Providence or whatever. It was a really freakish play where they were in the playoffs, college playoffs, and there was a line change going on, and the opposing team just kind of flipped the puck towards the goal, the opposing goal, and the goalie caught it, and he looked around for somebody to give it to. Of course, there was no one there, and it fell out of his glove into the goal. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Didn't see that.
Go ahead.
And ultimately, it cost them the game. That was made it a tie game, and then the other team scored and won. I felt horrible for the kid.
Was that the Boston the Providence BU final? I think that was the final.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was a BU kid who did. I didn't actually watch that part. I watched. My wife went to BU, and since I went to Cornell undergrad, I hate BU hockey. So I apologize. I just, you know, it's one of the because they killed the ECAC. So I didn't actually see that. I ended up for some reason. You know why I didn't end up watching it? We were watching Star Wars at my house.
Oh.
Let's be honest.
I see.
I mean, come on now. I mean, yes, compelling Frozen Four hockey, once-in-a-lifetime experience, or Empire Strikes Back.
Right, right.
It's available anytime.
1981. Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not really close, you know.
So. Thanks, fellas.
Russ, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number in the waning minutes with our friend Keith Strudler. So, baseball, we haven't talked too much about it. It's been so much fun already for me, but I look forward to it. I mark the calendar for opening day. In your sort of taking the pulse of what is happening in sports and where it's going, baseball on an upswing now again, or is it just sort of...
Financially, they're doing quite well.
As number of eyes viewing it.
I don't know. I think they're... Certainly not from a national stage. So they are not winning the national war. There are individual markets are able to generate lots and lots of revenue. And so you can look at numbers that will indicate that baseball is at a very good place. They're drawing a lot of fans. They are filling their parks. They have really good contracts with regional providers.
Providers?
Yeah, television providers. They're not doing well, though, when you get to World Series numbers aren't good. Those kinds of national numbers. The other thing that if you look at some of the numbers on baseball fans, It's old. I mean, they are not doing a great job.
And why is that?
Because it's slow. I mean, it's just not. Because you know why? Because it's not basketball. It's.
But basketball doesn't have as many eyes, does it?
Well, not as an aggregate, but they're going to get better numbers in the NBA Finals. I mean, people are going to watch the NBA Finals. There's, you know, there are very few stars in Major League Baseball. I mean, how many guys would walk down the street, and let's take Albany. How many baseball players could walk down the street, great baseball players, and you'd literally be like, I have no idea who that guy is. He looks athletic. Must work out.
Well, Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one. And versus the NBA,
they're 7 feet tall. You say, that guy's in the NBA.
It does. It is a dead giveaway. They also dress better. Almost all Armani or custom.
All right. Well, I don't like your logic here. Let's go to Charles in Albany. Charles, you're on.
Oh, hi. Just calling to alert you guys, if I'm sure you know about it, another great American event, the Boston Marathon, this coming Monday.
It's a great event.
Yeah, it's terrific. And, of course, the all the things that surrounded 2 years ago and the recent sentencing of Tsarnaev and so on. Great performance last year by Meb, first time in 30 years an American won, which was great. And it's one of the few sports, I've run it a number of times, not recently, but one of the few sports where you can toe the line with the world's best.
Absolutely.
There aren't many sports that you can do that.
What's your best time, Charles?
Put it on the spot.
My best time was 2:32 and change.
Oh, this guy's a runner.
That's amazing.
Puts me under 6 minutes a mile.
I couldn't even do that in a car.
No, I don't think so. I'm just looking across the aisle here.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. So,
believe me, I couldn't do it now.
So what made you want to do that? I never could see anybody going, you know, I think I'm going to run 26 miles.
I have run the Boston Marathon, too. Yes, I have. I ran track in college.
And what was your time?
Boston wasn't good. My best marathon, I ran three or so marathons. I ran a 2:36.
You're kidding me.
I ran track in college.
You know what, Charles? Next time Keith is here for the show, I want you guys to both run a marathon.
We'll do it right here.
I'll do the show by myself, and
we'll
you come back.
We'll go for a jog.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm old, too, so, I mean, my knees are shot and everything. But, yeah, I was a real runner. I'm not as good as Charles, but I was a real runner.
That must be amazing.
I'm still with it. I don't compete much anymore, but it's a great sport, and it starts out in high school. And then to college, and then you just stick with it. It's any other kind of thing that you really have
Charles, you ran in college, didn't you?
I did.
Where'd you run? Who'd you run for?
I ran at Hartwick College.
Sure. Beautiful.
Down in Oneonta.
Division I hockey. I know Hartwick College. Very nice. Soccer. Excuse me. Division I soccer.
Well, they are. They still are as far
yes.
as I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great field. Great. Really nice place.
So you guys are runners. I've always heard that after a certain point, after X number of miles, you hit that spot where suddenly you have a second wind and it's not at all?
Not at all. You know what happens? You get harder.
Really?
That's my perspective. I'm still chasing. I'm looking for the first wind.
Well, then you're not an elite runner, though.
I didn't claim to be.
Charles, what about you? Did you ever hit that spot where suddenly you're on air and...
Well, you can get to the point where when you first start out, it's like a cold engine in a car.
Yeah.
And you get beyond that, and you're just sort of moving along very nicely. The difference between that was then and what happens now is the cold engine, my cold engine never really warms up.
Yeah, you need some slick 50.
Yeah.
Hey, Charles, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it.
All right. Okay.
You know, I get the second wind when I'm about halfway to the snack bar at the stadium.
Yep. And you can smell the
pudding. Oh, the bratwurst. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
You know, the Boston Marathon, real interesting on that side, is I think – in many cases, you're almost looking at a referendum on the Olympics. And I think this Boston Marathon isn't simply just the marathon, but I think you're going to see a lot of push from the organizing committee who have decided to let this come up for a public referendum, which they weren't going to say, let's show how Boston can be part of this world stage. So I think it's going to be a very interesting thing.
I think you did a commentary on this not too long ago, right?
Oh, I'm sure it was good, too.
Well, what do you think about this? Is this you've been to Boston.
Yes.
The traffic is a nightmare on
terrible.
A good day.
The big dig, one of the disaster. No, Boston can do the Olympics as well as any city. I mean, look, New York, Chicago, those are the best cities. I think London's a great city. But they do need help, but they have a lot of potential there. They have to build up their public transit. They're going to have to work a lot with the colleges and universities, but they've done a lot of big events. Depends on what you consider worth it. Financially?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
So then why do you do it if you're Boston? Most people know who where Boston yep. is.
You do it if you think that this will help kickstart. Look, you do it because it's an ego thing, and that's why all these people do it. You do it if you think that in the end you're not going to hemorrhage cash and you can get some projects through that you might not have gotten through otherwise. You can build up your infrastructure. You can build. Look, they're not going to build up more public rail there. The Olympics could make that happen.
Oh.
So, I mean, if you think that you can create some really smart works projects out of it, build new dorms, you can do it smartly. But it takes a lot of discipline to do that. And, you know, most countries recently, Russia didn't exhibit the most discipline when they threw the...
No,
that's what
didn't.
Happens when a dictator runs the Olympics.
you make a point. Well, that's a good way to leave the show. And, Keith, an interesting program. A lot of hockey today.
That's always my intent.
I'm happy to bring you there. Keith Strudler is our guest. You can hear him on Thursdays?
Today.
So today.
Stick. Don't change your dial.
You better go record your commentary.
I already did it.
Thanks for joining us today. Thank you for calling in and for listening. Support comes from the Lathrop community, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years. Independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley. Lathrop.Kendall.org. Laurie Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. Valley Home Improvement, designing and building kitchens, bathrooms, interiors, and additions throughout the Pioneer Valley. Love your home. ValleyHomeImprovement.com. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting the Round the Lake Challenge, providing 30 missions to explore Lake George. LGLC.org. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, who was at the controls. Bruce Herbach answered your calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Make sure you stay tuned for Northeast Report because Strudler will be on there doing a pithy commentary. Tomorrow's program, it's the car show. Stay tuned now for a news update.